All right. Hey, crew. Happy hump day. I'm having a really great day. Last week, I signed on a new client for social media management, and they are freaking awesome. If you're into health and wellness, then you'll want to follow them. They're at Vivaya Live, V-I-V-A-Y-A Live, L-I-V-E, on all of the socials. Vivaya is this super cool platform where master guides teach yoga, nutrition, Reiki, and all sorts of incredible classes online at vivayalive.com. It's super rad. I'm excited to help them grow, but even more excited to be a part of the incredible team that they have built. It's truly special. So go give them a follow and make me look good by liking and commenting on all the recent posts, okay? I'm also really happy today because I have some leftover pizza from when my parents were over the other night, and I was about to put the slice into the oven, you know, as I normally do, but this time I saw my air fryer that I decided to take from my ex when he dumped me and put the slice in there and let it air fry for like 4 to 5 minutes. Oh my God. Why did this take me so long to figure out? Like, the pizza has never tasted better. The moral of the story is to go follow at Vivaya Live and to get an air fryer if you don't already have one. Okay, on to what we're speaking about on the social media podcast. So what I do and specialize in is organic social media. Ads and paid media just really never was my thing. I think mostly because any company I ever worked for, that was mostly an outsourced third-party service that we paid for. Ads are super complex. Like organic social, you kind of have more room to play around and test things and have fun with it. But paid social is a different beast. It's really down to the numbers. It's down to data to the max. Like, we can talk about a target audience all day with organic social, but paid social is just absolutely 100% necessary to have the perfectly selected target audience, or else you're just wasting money. Any company I've worked with after leaving corporate life have all asked me about either boosting posts or creating ads for them. So I'm always very honest about how my expertise doesn't lie there, because in reality, I don't want to have to deal with them being mad that they spent, you know, $300 on some random ad that didn't generate any income. It takes a serious strategy that involves, first of all, being extremely patient, and second of all, a large amount of money up front that you might not see again for a really long time. Just because you want to spend $300 promoting your product, for example, doesn't mean that the small reach it's going to get is going to spend any money on you. I talk about this all the time with organic social, and it's the same with paid. Your audience has to trust you before they purchase from you. It is extremely rare that someone would just buy some random product they have never heard of from some random company they can't verify. Like, this is why we talk about community building so much, because it's literally the most important thing for brands on social media. You build a community, and once you have earned their trust, then maybe they'll buy from you. And I'll talk specifically about this more in depth soon, because I just spoke about this topic at a marketing conference called Takeaway, and I can, you know, get you all those details too. When you run an ad, you are literally just reaching people that didn't know you existed. So they will need to see your name, your brand name a few times, which costs money because you need to run multiple ads. And once they see your name a few times, maybe then they'll click on your offer. If you like what they see, then they may follow you or share it with a friend. It still doesn't guarantee you're getting a return on your investment. The investment is truly just gaining eyes on you or your product or your service. Once they're invested in you, then the original investment into the ad starts to pay off. But of course, this can take months or years, and you may not be able to track how these customers found you unless they fill out a survey. So it's a completely different beast than what I deal with on my day-to-day. I always super appreciate paid social media managers because they're the ones having to really deal with big amounts of money and having to tell their clients why it didn't work or that they might not see a return for a few years or whatever the case is, which is why I was so excited to talk to Vanessa Anderson at thesobe.co, where she so generously explains how this all works. If you're a business owner looking to do paid ads, or if you're interested in paid media, this is the episode for you. And if you're a paid social media manager, hats off to you because this work ain't easy. So let's get into the interview with Vanessa so you can learn all about paying to get in front of eyeballs on social media. Ciao for now, crew. So welcome to the Social Media Manager. I'm your host, Dakota Jean, and today I have Vanessa Anderson with me. I'm so excited for you guys to get to listen to what she has to say. We're going to be discussing paid media, specifically, you know, like with Facebook ads and things like that. So Vanessa, why don't you give us a little rundown of what you do?
Yeah, thanks, Dakota, for having me. I'm super excited to be on the show and talk all things Facebook ads. It's a hot topic for sure. My name is Vanessa Anderson, and I am a former corporate leader turned CEO, and I own a consulting agency called Center of Business Excellence. And what we do is we help small businesses drive sustainable and impact growth and into that next transition of phase of business. And we do that through really honing in on specific marketing strategies like Facebook ads.
That's so cool. So now you, I think you said you're a CEO. Do you own your own business?
Yes. I own a consulting firm, Center of Business Excellence, and we work with several different small businesses of different sizes. We're a group of three of us that we are consultants in this agency.
That's so cool. Well, congratulations, by the way. I think that's so exciting. I own my own business, so I'm always stoked when other women are, you know, climbing up their own ladder. So that's great. In terms of Facebook ads, I think specifically, so many small business owners put all of this money, maybe it's only like $100 or $20 or something small. They put this money into an ad that they created and, you know, they think that they're targeting maybe the right audience, but it doesn't yield any results. Why do you think that is for the most part?
Yeah, that's a very common question that we get before we start working with someone. And the first thing I would say is, one, if you're starting out using Facebook ads, I would encourage you working with a company that are experts in that can help you manage those ads, because the platform has definitely evolved over the years. But if you are a DIYer and you just want to learn it yourself, the biggest thing is budget. And because the platform has evolved and because of all the recent changes, one of the downfalls, if you will, of Facebook is you do need some sort of a stable budget or a good sized budget in order to even see impact because of the saturation and encroaching competition that's coming up in Facebook.
Yeah, I think about that a lot. I do only organic social media management, and I get a lot of business owners that are like, you know, well, nothing happened. And it's like, well, you only spent $20. And so you only gave so much chance for it to be viewed by, you know, such a small audience. And what would your advice be for a small business owner that wants to maybe do it DIY? for their first, you know, couple of ads. What would your advice be in terms of, you know, setting that first budget?
Yeah. So setting your first budget, you can look at it a couple different ways, but just for conversation purposes and keeping it simple, I would try to look at who are you trying to reach? And then if you're going to DIY it yourself, Facebook is really good on the back end with giving you like an estimated reach of, based on like numbers that you put in. So it can be user-friendly. Sometimes it is a little complex and it's just a matter of like clicking back there. But if you focus on what your reach is and what your objective, your end goal is, you can set a healthy budget based on what your needs are and what you can afford to start out with.
Okay. Yeah. Great. I mean, do you think, you know, like $100 is even something that's enough for someone to start with? Or do you really think it needs to be, you know, upwards of that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to discourage anyone from trying it out, but to see significant impact and to really, let's say that your objective is to drive conversions and leads for your product, I would really, really look at a minimum of 2,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always scary to do that, but if you want to get people, you know, maybe even purchasing your product or getting more eyeballs on your company, it does take that amount of money. So, you know, sometimes
it does. And it's not to say that you can't start with something lower. But if you do start with something lower, I would just kind of lower your expectations and call it like a test, right? And you can say, okay, I'm going to test this out to see how much I can gain with maybe just 500, and then maybe up it a little more if you do see some returns to 1,000. I mean, you can definitely increase that budget, but if you want to like go all in out the bat, a minimum of 2,000 for sure.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And with your experience, what are the ads that are performing well? Is it, you know, short videos? Is it just really great static photos? Or what's performing well?
Definitely video. Video is outperforming all other format types. And I mean, that just makes sense, right? With all of the new platforms like TikTok, I mean, video is really big, and Reels. So video definitely outperforms that in terms of like the ad format type, in terms of what kind of copy and what ads you'll put up. But the best way to decide what type of video to do is I would look at your organic content and your organic posts. If you have a really high performing organic video, like a reel or an IGTV, or I mean, even a static image, right? I would definitely use that as your foundation to just roll with it, because it's a proven post that it did garner some engagement or high engagement. And I would definitely lead with that in terms of what to use for Facebook ads.
Right. Okay. And for those who aren't on Facebook, say they're on Instagram, in the Facebook ads manager, you can just create ads for just Instagram, right?
You can select by placement type. Although there is a stigma about only wanting to be on certain placements, Facebook is really smart. Like the Facebook ads manager is really smart in the sense of the more liberty you give it, the better it will perform for you. So if you place constrictions or a lot of criteria on a campaign, the less engagement and the less results you'll see. So if you just kind of open up to all placement types, you will probably be surprised on maybe it is just Instagram that you're getting your high performance from, or maybe it's other placements that you would have never even thought of had you not selected to enable all placements.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. And then what about, you know, people who want to advertise their business, but maybe they're, you know, tired of Facebook or Meta, and they're looking elsewhere. What other platforms do you think are good for people to advertise on?
Yeah, that's another big question, is how can we not put all of our eggs in one basket, which would be Facebook, right? And that's where we really specialize in diversified marketing efforts. So we like to manage a marketing portfolio like that of a stock portfolio. So it's really important to kind of spread your efforts across different tactics and manage those budgets based on performance. So if you see Facebook performing, great, keep it on. If you don't see Facebook performing, pull that money out and put it into another tactic. So some other ones that we like to use, TikTok is a big one. And actually, the reach on TikTok far supersedes the one on Facebook. Granted, you know, you're not really comparing apples to apples, but engagement and reach on Facebook, on TikTok is really big right now. So TikTok advertising, it also depends on what industry you're in. So there's different types of industry publication sites that you can really partner up with, like doing e-promos, doing a direct ad based on different efforts and initiatives that say for an industry website is holding, or like a magazine, like Entrepreneur magazine. So you really have to think outside the box for that.
Yeah. So, it's so interesting. It is for me anyway, because this is just not my world at all. So I just love hearing about all this. And it is that sort of like traditional advertising, that, I mean, it still produces results. I'm thinking like even, you know, magazines, billboards or something like that. I mean, are those things that people can still do?
Yes. Yeah, right. It's a question to definitely ask because we live in a digital world. But yeah, you can still do that. So that those traditional forms of advertising still exist, and they can be very effective depending on what type of industry and what type of business you're in. So say, for example, you're a local spa, possibly doing some type of advertisement with your local radio, whether, you know, depending on your audience type, might be something you should look into. And then in terms of billboards, I mean, you can go on and on. Billboards are, I believe, are really more brand awareness than lead generation, but it really depends what your objective is. But we shouldn't even discredit like Google Ads search, and also YouTube ads. Those are really, really big too, again, because it's all video.
Yeah, exactly. I guess on that note too, do you think advertising like on YouTube, first of all, is it hard to, is there like a back end like Facebook has for YouTube ads, and like where you can just put in like the copy that, you know, shows up at the bottom of the video? Okay. Nice.
Yes, it's actually on a Google platform. So if you do like SEM, which is search engine marketing, so it's the paid ads when you do a search on Google, and it's on that interface, that it's that back end that you would be able to select what platform, whether it's on directly on Google or on YouTube. But there is a place to be able to add copy, put video, images, select different placements, very similar to Facebook ads.
Oh, very cool. I'm learning so much from you.
Great.
And I'm curious with that, like, are those sorts of ads effective if, you know, maybe you have a smaller budget, so you're just putting like quick copy that's like, check us out, you know, I mean, do those things actually convert?
They do. It really, again, it's all going to depend on the type of copy. So if you have a small budget, you know, you can like forget about the budget for a second and then just think about how are you going to connect to your audience? What reaction do you want to get from them, and what do you want them to do? And that's all going to come down to either, if it's not video, let's just say it's copy, the type of copy that you write. You can definitely evoke some type of reaction, even just with words. But that is something that you can definitely do on SEM, which is Google. And that's all purely copy only. And there's still great success on Google as well.
Yeah, that's great. What is your view on acquisition ads? Like, if a company wants, you know, obviously everyone wants, you know, ROI, they want their return on their investment. But sometimes, you know, you do just need to kind of put your brand out there so people understand who you are, you know, kind of educate people. And those usually don't, you know, you don't really get money from that. But do you think that that is still important for brands to do?
1,000%. 1,000%. Because brand awareness, while you may not see immediate, you know, cash injection or immediate ROI, brand awareness does create long-term sustainable growth. And that's what we all want. I mean, if we're in it for the long run and you don't want, you know, a one-year business or, you know, one-year results, then you're really going to want to put efforts and some type of campaign behind pumping out your brand and letting your audience know who you are. So on the back end of Facebook, you can select the type of objective of each campaign, and versus looking at, let's say, conversions, you know, your conversion type is going to be a little different for a brand awareness. Maybe you're going to want just clicks to your website. Maybe you're just going to want reach. Maybe you're just going to want impressions. So there's a slew of other metrics that you can look out for when it comes time for brand awareness. But know this, that when you invest in brand awareness, it will create long-term sustainable growth that you may not see right away. But the more that you aggregate your brand awareness in terms of like Facebook ads and then maybe continue your organic, it's all going to compound and you will see long-term results.
Yes, it's that whole idea of the, you know, the marketing funnel, right? You need to have this many eyes in order for you to even, you know, gain the trust for somebody to buy your product.
Right. You want them in your ecosystem. And the way to get them in your ecosystem is getting them aware of who you are and what your brand is.
Right, exactly. And I'm sure this, I just imagine that many, you know, people that you work with are probably like, you know, hesitant to put all of that money into something that might not quickly convert. Do you find that to be true?
I do. And so it's definitely several conversations that we need to have. And it's not just with small businesses. Look, I had these conversations and challenges even in corporate America with C-suite executives. And, you know, their main focus is revenue. And it's like, yes, it is revenue, but you really, you know, immediate and low funnel lead gen activities is not going to get you the long-term growth that you want. It's really going to be cultivating your brand, cultivating the company, who you are, what you stand for.
So say someone wants to put out this great video that they had, is the copy length important when it comes to advertising?
It depends what you want to convey. It depends what your message is. I've seen copy that's pretty lengthy, but they need to get a point across. And if it is lengthy, you're going to have to keep them engaged at each point. I am of the mindset that the shorter the better, because our attention spans are so short nowadays with so much coming at us and so many messages and content that we're consuming on a day-to-day basis. So with that being said, you want to be able to grab their attention right away. Say, for example, you have a long, you know, a lengthy copy and you're going to have to click the read more. If they click read more, it's because you really grabbed their attention within the first 3 seconds or the first sentence, if you will. And so that's key, is getting their attention right away. And if it's short, great. If it's longer, just make sure that you hit that key point that they need to understand and you want them to get engaged right away.
Yeah. Okay, cool. What is your view on boosting on Instagram or Facebook? I think a lot of people that I talk to, or if I manage their social media, they're like, oh, can we boost this? And it's like, I always feel hesitant because I feel like once you start boosting, then the apps are like, oh, they're going to boost from now on. So we won't push it to the top of the algorithm unless they boost. And what is your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think boosting would be okay for someone starting out, right? If you're if you're going to DIY it and you're exploring this opportunity, this phase or this area of paid advertising or Facebook ads, and you're unsure, boosting is very simple and it can really, you know, kind of push out that one specific post that's already garnering some great engagement to even more eyeballs. And it can could give you a little taste of what is possible if you were to formalize that into a true Facebook campaign. So I'm not opposed to it. I just think that there's different levels of who should boost at it, when you should boost, and for what you should, when what you're going to boost for.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What kind of clients do you work with? And, you know, like how big are these companies?
So the companies that I work with, they're in the service-based or education, alternative learning space. So coaches, online coaches. I also work with agencies, formal marketing agencies that don't really have a full digital side. So I work with them as well. And the size of these companies really hit around, they're already generating around 3 to 5 million in revenue. And I don't want to put it like a revenue because most of them do, but some of them are just scratching that and they're just stuck and they're not seeing growth in their business. And so that's where we come in. They're like, we need some help. And we're really, you know, we really specialize in getting you unstuck from where you have been going into that next phase of your business.
Very cool. And what kind of clients, maybe that are listening right now, like who would you like to work with in the future?
If you are in the service-based, industry, you are a coach, you are an agency, and offer services, feel free to look me up and, I'd love to work with those types of clients and really looking for like, what else can I do? You need ideas. You really are looking for to formalize or polish your business into the next transition. And, you're just like, I don't know what else to do. You're throwing your hands up. I'm your girl.
Awesome. And so where can people find you?
Best place to find me, believe it or not, is because I'm on social media all the time, connecting with, talking to and connecting with my clients on Instagram. I am Vanessa Anderson, _, and I'll pop right up. And, on LinkedIn, I'm big on LinkedIn as well. And Vanessa Anderson, very simple. I should be one of the first that pops up. I'm not sure how I got lucky with that, but I know some people have trouble using their name, but I do pop up right there. And so those are the best places to find me and connect with me.
Great. And what is your website?
My website is www.thesobe.co.
Honestly, it's just so helpful because this advertising is so scary for so many people. And so to have someone like you who knows what they're doing and just to put that into your hands, I think is something that a lot of business owners need to explore more because, you know, of course you need a social media manager to manage and strategize your organic content. But if you want to grow to the level, you know, and make all of this money, advertising is a piece that people shouldn't forget.
Right. They shouldn't. And it's, if you want to get activity right away, I mean, that's the biggest place and that's the biggest win that you'll get is putting some money behind some ads and just getting yourself out there. You could have no followers, not even a social presence, and put out advertising and then you will be put in front of so many people. So I do think it is a place to explore if you want to grow. I know that sometimes it can be scary in the beginning because you're not really sure what to do, but that's why it's so important to listen to shows like yours to get helpful tips and just kind of guide yourself into this new world of advertising.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically just investing in yourself, right? Like if you believe in your coaching or your product or anything that your business is, you're like, all right, I'm all in. So I'm going to invest in this.
Yes, you said it best.
Awesome. Well, Vanessa, I cannot thank you enough for joining me. I really, really appreciate you coming onto the show and sharing your wisdom with all of us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. I can't wait till it comes out.
I know. Awesome.